In your first job, you can feel like a fish out of water, confused, lost, and unsure of how to proceed. You don't have any connections or networks yet because you've just got a foot in the door. At this juncture, finding a mentor can dramatically change your career trajectory. Research suggests that just having a mentor can improve your performance at work. But having a strong relationship with your mentor can directly result in promotions and raises. But the truth is, nobody really wants more mentees. You often feel like you're making this grand request from someone who's probably way more busy or have way more things to do. And reaching out to someone you admire, especially if that person is senior to you, it can get super intimidating. Welcome to Season 1 of The First 2 Years, where we'll be discussing all the firsts you'll be encountering in the world of work. In this season so far, we have learned how to turn a job that you have into a job that you want. We have learned how to decode therapy speak at work. We've also learned how to quit consciously if the job you're at is not salvageable. And that brings us to where we are now, Episode 4. In this episode, we're going to learn a lot about how to find a mentor to best help you and your career and get that accelerated growth you're looking for. This is The First 2 Years. I'm Akshay Chandrasekharan, and this is the show where we ask and answer the toughest questions around work every Tuesday. Mentors come at a time when you really need them. They usually make a big difference at career junctures. Do I take this job? Do I not take this job? What the heck do I do next? Where do I go from here? These are the times when mentors can have a profound impact. Param Shah knows this from experience. Param had just taken a big bet and failed in the first 2 years of his career. He was laid off from an early stage startup that couldn't find product market fit and shut operations altogether. For his next move, he was faced with a choice, a dilemma between a stable offer and a boring role, or another early stage startup, so a risky offer, but a very, very exciting role. The thing you should know about Param is that by now, his past experience had already turned him risk averse.
Like, I was feeling as if there's not much choices in life now. I need this stable job. I'll give my MBA and go that linear path that everyone takes, right? Like, give the entrance exam, go for an MBA, spend 2 years there, get a good job and continue, right? And that was the only path that was, like, looking bright to me. Startups were looking like a doom, something that's bound to fail. Or the risk is not worth taking. Maybe I'm in the same place after a year and then I'm just burnt out. I'm working so hard and I'm not progressed in my career. Instead, I'll just take the safer bet, settle for a lesser pain, lesser exciting role, but at the same time, bet on stability and predictable growth.
Before making a final decision, Param wanted to run the numbers. He took a very scientific approach and made an exhaustive Excel sheet rating both the job offers across different parameters that mattered to him. Pay, learning, work from office, career growth in a year's time, brand, role, and so on. Even while using the most objective method to figure out what he wants, the stable job and the boring role came out on top. But for some reason, Param was not convinced. He was still filled with fear and anxiety about what the future holds, of whether or not he was making the right decision. He needed a mentor, not an Excel sheet.
He was someone who used to take mentoring sessions for people, but for product designers. But since we were friends since 2 years, and we used to not just talk about career, but talk about books, talk about philosophy. He was kind enough to offer that call to me as well for free. And that's when I got on a call with him. I explained my trajectory.
Shivam Arya was Param's mentor. Shivam is a self-taught product designer who had taken a lot of unconventional bets in his decade-long startup career. Someone who was deeply interested in mentoring and sharing those lessons on social media. And there was an instant spark.
And he was like, rational thinking is great till a point, right? It shouldn't be the basis to form your decision. It should be the starting point for your decision. Once you get rational things out of the way, go with your gut. Once you've evaluated all the numbers, evaluated everything, and checked for all the possible failures, and then just reflect on how you feel about each of the opportunity, and then just go with your gut.
Param's mentor reminded him of an even more advanced tool than an Excel sheet, the human intuition. Intuition is not a replacement for rational thought, of course, but it definitely has a place in decision-making. As a supporting tool for making hard choices, something you develop and nurture and rely on over the years. After you heard him say what he said, right? Like, because until that point in time, you were leaning more towards the stable job and probably the past experiences, everything was making you gravitate towards it. Your Excel sheet also was now telling you that this is the right thing to do objectively. And when he came back and told you, use your rationale as a starting point, but eventually you have to end up listening to your gut and stuff, like, what did that make you feel?
I think I was relieved, I would say. Like, at least someone also thinks like how I think. Someone is like, because you know, sometimes you just want to hear the same thing that you've been thinking about from someone else to make your decision. And that's exactly what happened. Like, I wanted someone to have faith, like restore faith in me about me doing the crazy thing again. And yeah, that's like, it made me feel positive. It made me feel that, yeah, maybe it will work out. It has worked out for people.
Param's mentor didn't tell him to go down a certain path, but showed up for him to help him figure out the path he wants to go down. Param joined the early stage company as its first ever employee. And it's been 15 months since, a huge risk, but it's paid off. He says he's been building something he's passionate about and is getting to learn a lot. Param benefited from an ideal mentoring experience. But research suggests that a bad mentoring relationship is far more detrimental than having no mentor at all. So if mentors become controlling and somewhat manipulative, or mentees become entitled and lazy, you can experience negative effects. So finding the right mentor, the right influence, and establishing healthy dynamics is super, super important.
When you're looking for a mentor, you should not look for Sachin, you should look for Dravid.
Sairam Krishnan heads marketing at Atomic Work, a startup attempting to reimagine the way employees work. He writes a popular newsletter, the CMO Journal, and is someone who is very interested in mentoring early career folks.
I bring cricket into everything. I'm culturally very Indian. Cricket is my way of thinking about the world. Sachin is a genius, right? Sachin can play shots that, you know, none of us can even comprehend playing. But then he cannot come and teach you. Because a genius does not know how he did it. He already knows that he can do it. Right? And so basically, the innate nature of it means that it cannot be taught. Which is why I say, like, when you're looking for a mentor, look for your Dravid, not, don't look for your Sachin. Sachin is great to watch and all of that. I can learn nothing from him. But Dravid, I can watch, and I can, like, when there's a certain kind of Dravid innings, right? It's you know that he's not just fighting the conditions, he's not just fighting the fast bowlers, he's fighting himself. Right? And you can see the sweat, you can see, and that is what it can teach you, right? The fact that sometimes you have to, like, go within, find that sort of, like, you know, resilience to stay out there in, like, 40 degree heat and figure out a way to make runs. So that's the person who can teach me where is he drawing all that resilience from, right? That's what you're looking for. As a mentee, if I'm, you know, if I'm asking Rahul Dravid, that's what I'm looking for. What is the source of that, you know, yeah, what is the source of that steel?
In ancient Greece, They always separated exceptional artists into two categories: having a genius and being a genius. Being a genius is somewhat innate, someone born with a special gift. But having a genius means someone who has a talent for something and has nurtured it over a period of time and has gotten really, really good at it. So when you're going after a mentor, look for someone who has a genius and not someone who is a genius. Because research, once again, suggests that highly successful performers often have difficulty in understanding why someone might be struggling with a task that comes so easy to them. If they have a natural talent for something, they often find it difficult to unpack it. And if it is someone more experienced and way ahead of you in their career, some of your questions and problems are quite removed from their reality. They may have simply forgotten the basics. They might struggle to articulate something that is second nature because they've been doing it for so long. So when you're looking for a mentor, once again, you're looking for a committed teacher, not an exceptional performer. Someone who's willing to invest the time and energy to see you grow. Someone who can put the protege's needs, your needs, ahead of their own. Sai has had the privilege of finding a mentor like that.
Well, there was one year when I really had this like idea of starting up. And I had just come out from Freshworks and, you know, I was like, okay, this is this idea. I'm going to build it. I know how to build this. Here's the product and so on. And then like when I sat down with my mentor, I told what I was thinking to him. I presented it to him. I had made a deck, all of that. And he sort of slowed me down and like, you know, asked me a bunch of questions, in a Bangalore, coffee shop. Then I realized that I wasn't ready. Right. So he didn't tell me I wasn't ready. He basically made sure that I understood that I wasn't ready myself. Right. So like that is what I mean by actual mentorship, because people who actually care should help you make decisions and should see what you're unwilling to and should make you see what you're unwilling to see sometimes. That sort of like relationship is what you should aim for.
OK, I'm going to take you back to that Bangalore cafe for a moment. I just want to know, how did you react when he made you question, right, whether or not you're ready to start up? How did you react in the moment?
Though my first reaction is always, like most people, very defensive. Why can't I do this? Why do you think I can't do this and so on? But, I think the fact that somebody you trust and somebody who wants the best for you and wants you to win, right? It's not like this person is like, stopping you from going and achieving your dreams. This person wants you to win. They are just convinced that you are not clear about exactly, what you're attempting to do or what you're putting your foot in, or you could be way more successful in some other direction. So that perspective can only come from 5 or 10 years down the line.
A good mentor asks you great questions. They don't give you answers. They give you perspective. Their goal is not to share lessons gained from their own personal experiences. Instead, it is about helping you crystallize lessons gained from your own experiences. And a big part of this relationship also involves giving and receiving tough feedback. That brings us to the next biggest misconception about mentoring, that it is a one-way relationship. You request someone you admire to be their mentee. They evaluate your profile and either accept or reject your request. A mentee, often someone young and less experienced, has nothing to offer. They're an empty vessel. It's almost as if the benefits to the mentee come at a cost to the mentor. Their time, energy, everything. But Sairam says,
no, that's not true at all.
Especially in the field he works in, marketing, he truly benefits from mentoring.
Marketing is very radically evolving all the time. That could be some new platform, some new tactic that none of us have thought of that could come up. And obviously, being in social media, marketing is also about social media a lot. The cutting edge aspects of it generally, the younger people sort it out very quickly. They understand it much better. I now have 12 years in the industry, and by the standards of this industry, I am goners. I'm old. Basically, which means that there's a lot that even a mentee has to offer me.
Mentors also grow in a good mentor-mentee relationship. Research shows that leaders are engaged and effective at work if they're actively mentoring. Because CEOs and leaders are insulated And mentoring gives them a glimpse lower into the organization, brings fresh insights, challenges standard ways of thinking, and sometimes even saves companies. Remember the Maggie crisis in 2015? When regulatory bodies raised concerns over the high lead and MSG content in Maggie? It was taken off the shelves. The makers of Maggie, Nestle India, lost over $60 million in revenue. They had to dispose more than 30,000 tons of Maggie products. Nestle was in a soup. When all of this was going down, Suresh Narayanan was brought in as the wartime CEO to handle this situation. Nestle needed an urgent and potent comeback strategy for Maggie. How do you build trust? What's the best way to make a comeback? How do you enter the homes of people again? Many questions needed answering.
We launched Maggie in 2015. After the crisis, my first instinct was to launch in the trade. You know, to go, that's the way I was being taught. You know, yeah. Go to shops and give boxes of sweets and hug each other and, you know, launch the brand. Till a youngster, an assistant brand manager, he told me, sir, I have a slightly different idea. I said, what is your idea? I said, sir, let us launch it on Snapdeal. That time Snapdeal was big. So I said, why Snapdeal? He said, sir, my generation, which is generation for Maggie, doesn't go to the shops anymore. We order online.
The voice you just heard is of Suresh Narayanan's on the Hindu Business Line podcast. In case you don't already know, the Maggie's relaunch was a huge success. And 60,000 Maggie kits were sold out in 5 minutes on Snapdeal. And this was literally the first time the company was experimenting with e-commerce. But this was all because Suresh Narayanan, the Nestle India CEO, paid heed to an assistant brand manager in his team. And later in the podcast, he credits the formal reverse mentoring programs at Nestle for creating this sort of culture. Mentors also glean intangible benefits. They get a deep sense of fulfillment and joy from mentoring. And giving back can be very, very gratifying.
I think it was mostly the background I come from. I come from a small town, no real technology background. Like, you know, I'm the first postgraduate from my family. All of that. And then when you come from a place like that and you've forged a career in technology and, you know, people know you and all of that, I think the immediate thing is, who can I pull up? And this did not, this also came to me from my, you know, earlier bosses and people who I've worked with. There was always this idea of generosity that, you know, that you have to act with a certain sense of generosity towards the world. And mentorship is part of that.
When you think of mentoring as a one-way relationship, it can cause emotional distance with your mentor. It takes you out of the driver's seat, renders you powerless, and it can feel like a transaction, instead of what it actually is, a relationship built on trust and friendship over many, many years. You just don't have something to offer, you have everything to offer. From finding a committed teacher who aligns with you, bringing your special gift to the table, reaching out at the right moment, and having an open mind to being challenged. In this mentor-mentee relationship, you can be proactive about this whole process.
I would say I've reached out to, say, 100 people, maybe 10 reach out and 2 work out. So you have to overcome the fear of failure, and there's no failure as such, right? There's no downside. So you do reach out to multiple people. You try to have conversations with them. If you see even the startup ecosystem that's been built, say, in Silicon Valley, or even what's been built in India, there's a lot of giving back without expecting anything. And great people do want to give back, right? So that more great people can join the race. Like, just take bets and let serendipity happen, and you'll make friends along the way. You can't have the outcome in mind always. You have to follow the process and then let luck take its turn.
Thank you so much for listening. You can write to me with feedback at aksha@the-ken.com. The first 2 years is produced from the newsroom of The Ken, India's first subscribers-only business news platform. This episode was written and hosted by me, Aksha Chandrasekharan, produced by Anushka Mukherjee, and audio engineering by Rajiv CN. Thank you for tuning in.